I'm going to call the meeting to order. Members of the committee, you received minutes from the previous meeting, March 7th and 8th. Have had time to review those. Are there any changes, additions to those minutes as received? If not, I'll take a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
So moved.
I'll take a second.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor, vote aye.
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 All opposed? Minutes are approved as submitted. We come to a next phase in our agenda, which is public comments. This is if you have anything outside of your presentation today that you need to speak about. If you saw Sasquatch, want to share, anything like that. All right, no Sasquatch sightings. And then we have a new order of business. Our previous chair, Sue Frost, is stepping down as chairman of the committee due to work complications. So we need a nomination for new chair to come from the floor.
I would like to nominate Rebecca.
Second.
Any other nominations from the floor? All in favor of Rebecca Gasnell's new chair, please vote aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Lucky me. I'll have staff review our financial statement, please.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. Just to introduce myself to you again, my name is Lauren Sims. I'm the Community and Government Affairs Chief here for the town. Typically, you would see our business and tourism manager in this role. However, we're in the process of rehiring, so I'm excited to be with you today and happy to report that we'll be bringing our new staff member on at the end of this month. So I'll look forward to introducing them to you. And in the meantime, look forward to working with you. So for this year, the remaining balance that we have is $144,800 remaining in the pot of money. Just as an update, our expenditures to date this year, $18,000 for external special events, and then our internal special events you have listed in front of you. The expenditures for those kind of internal ones, those are Blessing of the Fleet, Children's Day Festival, things of those nature. Those are all listed on the budget report in front of you. Happy to answer any questions that you have.
Just for clarity for new members, on the Patriots Point 4th of July, is that the total amount coming from ATAT?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, just making sure. All right. Any other questions about the financial report from the committee? Okay. We will start then with our first presentation. When you come up, you have 2 minutes. You have a clock here to watch. It's just like a game show. Please tell us your name and your title, and then you can begin your presentation.
And Madam Chair, just to... I apologize for interrupting, but due to a medical reason, we had a request for someone to go first.
Okay, great.
So we'd be moving around. Yes. Do you want to tape it? That's all right? Okay. All right. Never mind. We'll proceed as
all right. Scheduled. Well, I might have a medical emergency. All right. That being said, we're going to start with South Carolina Aquarium. All committee members, this is the first page of your book. You have... I have some new committee members, so give me a little bit of patience here. You have a scoring sheet on your first page. We are going to be evaluating them based on the components 1, 2, and then you'll see the matrix there, economic impact, media and marketing, community impact, funding sources. So your questions to them should reflect these areas where you'll be assigning a score to them based on how well they perform in those categories, okay? All right, you may proceed.
Good afternoon. My name is Chloe Garrison. I am the Foundation Relations Coordinator for the South Carolina Aquarium, and I would just like to take this moment to say thank you for having us today and for your consideration for our proposal for the Charleston Waterfront Pass. My colleague here, Brent, is going to share a little bit more about that.
Hi. Thanks again. My name is Brent Duncan. I'm Senior Manager of Advertising and Public Affairs for the South Carolina Aquarium. What we have is the Charleston Waterfront Pass. This is actually a life-size or blown-up version of what you actually get. We're thrilled to be working with our partners from Patriots Point. It's really the first time in several years that we've had anything on this scope. We see a lot of joint attendance, or makeup, rather, but there are certain publics that they get that we don't get and vice versa. So it's really just a seamless transition into a larger partnership that we're thrilled to be working on with them. This summer we had a pilot launch of the program. We saw great sales. However, we did have this pass available only for sale at the four sponsored CACDB visitor centers. This project, or this joint pass, actually allows people to get into Patriots Point, the aquarium, and then get round-trip transport via the Charleston Water Taxi for one price. And so we've seen that it's worked in larger markets such as Baltimore and Boston. So this really was just kind of a next step for us to take our relationship to the next level. This funding will actually allow us to take this advertisement and promotion of this project outside the market. We both have very similar demographics or targets when it comes to advertising this program. So Charlotte, Columbia, Greenville, those markets, this funding would allow us to reach that with sponsored content, in addition to actually partnering with several hotels in Mount Pleasant as well, like Wild Dunes, where we've done partnerships before, and actually including this in online content as well as traditional outdoor boards as well.
Ooh, well done.
I had practice.
So I will start down to this end. Vishal, do you have any questions? Or?
No, I'm all right.
Okay. Is the water taxi a privately owned business?
It is, yes.
Okay. And how many people were riders in your pilot program?
I know their capacity is roughly 40. I think given the schedules, it departs the aquarium stop every 30 past the hour. Mm-hmm. But we did see routinely that it was fairly full. Our goal for this project was 400 just in the span of a couple of months. So we did reach that, which was great. But knowing the limitations of actually only being able to sell through the CACDB, we're going to continue to do this through the winter and actually try to take this program online and offer online sales. So that's only going to help when it comes to actually advertisement and directing people straight to the link so they can actually purchase on demand and get a code to visit both of our attractions.
So when someone comes online to look at an advance ticket purchase from you or for Patriots Point, is this currently not an option?
We suspended just a few weeks ago until we got online sales back up and running, or launched, I should say. But our goal will be to do that before the end of the year.
And I would imagine that the ticket is really appealing to people who've already made a commitment to visit one of those properties, and this is just a convenience option for them.
It definitely is. One thing is, just in the open, interest of being transparent, the aquarium does not receive any funding from the parking. Aquarium Garage is a City of Charleston-owned property, so I'm more than happy to send people over to Patriots to park, and then once they're there, they can spend the morning at Patriots and then hop on the water taxi and come to the aquarium for the afternoon. So it really is, in the spirit of the program, designed to be kind of a one-stop ticket for people to enjoy their day while they're in town.
Okay. I have two more questions. I'm sorry I ask a lot of questions.
That's okay. I'm happy to answer.
The ads that you're planning to place, I looked at your advertising budget and how you were going to go about that. Would this be a standalone promotion of the pass, or would the pass be integrated into come visit the aquarium advertising? And is it a one or the other investment? Are you promoting both Patriots Point and the aquarium in those ads, or how is that being set up?
We do have joint logos on a lot of our placement. There is a website created, charlestonwaterfrontpass.com. So any type of digital advertising, outdoor boards, rotating graphics, for instance, would direct people to that, so it wouldn't be solely directing people to Patriots Point or the aquarium. Okay. Does that make sense?
It does. And then the last question I have, and see, it's written down, so it's real. Why did you decide to go this route versus pursuing a City Pass program where people who are already traveling are used to searching out City Pass for combined ticket options?
To put it simply, just so that the cost isn't passed along to the consumer, we were able to offer 20% off jointly, Patriots is as well. City Pass is a trademarked company, and so it operates in a larger metro like Atlanta, New Orleans, Nashville. There's something to be said for exclusivity as well. And so for us, a lot of our goals and a lot of the people we're trying to reach are the same. And so at least for just an initial pilot phase and into the first year, it just made sense for us to keep this as kind of a more intimate product.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And if I haven't killed everyone's brain cells, mm-hmm. I'll move on to Brumby to see if he has any questions for you.
I did want to ask about the pilot program. Were you able to see the hotel room stays in the pilot program?
We actually aren't tracking hotel stays necessarily. I know Patriots does a lot of that with their gate admissions. You'll ask questions about where people have stayed. To put it simply, we care, but if you're coming through our gate, you're there whether you're driving in for the day or not. But we certainly do have, and I think in our application we mentioned certain hotels. We have obviously ones that send us more business because we sell tickets directly from that property. So there's several. I know the Holiday Inn used to. Indigo is a big one now. The Hilton Garden Inn. Those are all bigger properties where we're routinely making touches and visits to try to encourage visitation.
I'm the director of sales and marketing at the Charleston Harbor Resort where the Water Taxi is housed, and I didn't know about this initiative. So this is interesting, and I think we could be a good hotel to help partner with you since we're right there at Patriots Point.
Yeah, and that's, again, the spirit of it is just to be as collaborative as possible. I know the aquarium has done certain promotions with the resort for spring break and that kind of thing, but it's nice, especially for sponsored content, which is where you can actually track and measure a lot of the analytics and see basically whose eyeballs your ads are getting to. It's very cost-effective to reach a lot of people. And so that's where in a metro like Charlotte, where the rates for outdoor boards are very high, doing something like this, especially when we can partner that with trade, for instance, with some of these passes, it's just going to make our dollar go that much more further.
I think everyone's asked all my questions, so I'm good.
I'm fine as well. Thank you.
Okay. And you do have confirmed funding from the Charleston County?
The City of Charleston.
The City of Charleston. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then if you don't receive funding from us, will this program move forward?
It will continue to move forward, probably not at the scale at which we'd like to see it.
Was the Water Taxi ticket included complimentary with this package?
It was not. It's definitely a higher percentage off than what you would get just as a standalone ticket or even through other partner programs. And for that, I would say that the aquarium and Patriots Point, Kayla can correct me if I'm wrong, the aquarium assumes in our current agreement with them the cost of advertising and promoting this program. Patriots Point is a partner in the reconciliation budgeting process, disbursement of funds to both of our organizations. So the promotion of this, again, really lies with the aquarium itself, which is why we were the one to ask for the funding.
Gotcha.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have a presentation from the Yorktown Foundation, the Vietnam Photographic Exhibit.
Good morning. Thank you for having us. Congratulations, Madam Chair. Welcome, new board members, a lot of new faces. It's nice to see. I'm Allison Hunt. I'm the Executive Director of the USS Yorktown Foundation. We're the support organization for for Patriots Point Naval and Maritime Museum. This is Kayla Halchek. She is the marketing manager for the museum. We want to thank you so much for your support and partnership in the past. We've been able to do a lot of great projects with the town of Mount Pleasant, and we really appreciate what great supporters you all have been. What we're requesting funds for today is a National Archives traveling exhibit that's entitled Picturing NAM, and it is a carefully curated collection of photographs taken by military photographers during the Vietnam War that gives an intimate and ground-up view of the war and those who fought it. I've got a little handout there, gives you sort of an overview of what the exhibit will look like. It will be displayed in the Harbor Room, which is beside the Smoky Stover Theater, from January 24th through March 31st of 2019, and there will be no additional fee with that. It's just a value-added exhibit for our regular for our paying guests who come to the ship and to the museum. Vietnam Veterans Day falls on March 29th and is very popular and very well attended, so we expect a lot of traffic in there through that time. All veterans are admitted free on Vietnam Veterans Day, and we, courtesy of business sponsorships, so we also plan to host a major symposium around Vietnam Veterans Day this year and around this exhibit and this event. The contract with the National Archives and Records Administration requires quite a bit of preparation for the space, so that's what's built into the request plus the fee for the actual exhibit. Thank you very much.
Another perfect presentation. All right, we're going to start at the opposite end with questions this time.
I don't have any questions. I'm just waiting for yours, Rebecca.
Darn you. Go ahead.
I don't have any questions at this time. I don't either. Thank you.
I'm doing all the heavy lifting today.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to compliment you on the calculation of attendance. I thought it was very thoughtful in looking at your regular attendance and your previous symposium numbers. That's something we very much appreciate. Instead of fluff, this is a well-thought-out attendance projection.
Thank you so much. That's marketing department. They do a fantastic job with
that. All right, Kaylee, right on. Two stars for you today. Are you planning to come to us with any other symposium funding requests this year?
No.
This is the one?
This is the one.
Okay. And would you tell me a little bit about any special school promotion to get kids in for this exhibit, or is it all one niche moving forward in your marketing strategy?
No, I think we will definitely be looking into that. We're in the planning phases on the exhibit, but absolutely that will be part of what we'll try and do.
Okay.
And part of our marketing push is we'll get with our group sales team, and they have regular schools and hotels that we'll be sharing the information with as well.
Great. Thank you. Those are my questions.
No questions.
Sean? All right. Thank you very much
for
your presentation
today.
All right. Next up, Charleston Jazz. Do you do this with jazz hands? Is this?
There you go.
I don't know.
There you go.
I leave it up to the performers. So.
Wise move. All right. Let us hear.
All right. Thank you for having me here and giving me the opportunity to present to you about Charleston Jazz and Charleston Jazz Festival. We are a first-time applicant to this opportunity, so we are very excited. My name is Tatiana Baylott. I'm the Director of Development at Charleston Jazz. I've been there for about 3 months, so I'm fairly new to the organization. So we are presenting our annual Jazz Festival this January, for which this grant is going to help promote. We draw about 3,000 jazz fans from all over the Southeast. Last year we had about 26% come from outside of the greater Charleston area. The Charleston Jazz Festival is a four-day event. We bring internationally known performers to Charleston. This year our headliner is Bobby McFerrin, and we are putting him in collaboration with Ranky Tanky, which is one of our local jazz groups that have made it big, that are playing on the international festival stage now. And they're going to be collaborating together, so we're commissioning both of these performers to create music together for the first time. So it's really a world premiere in that sense. And they're going to be playing at the Gailey Art Center on Saturday night. On Thursday night, we're bringing a Puerto Rican flautist, Nestor Torres, and he's playing at the Charleston Music Hall. And then on Friday night, we present Charleston jazz bands. We have an open call for performers to apply, and we select about four or five groups to play on Friday night. This year, they'll be performing at Dockery's on Daniel Island. And then on Sunday, we have our family day, where we feature the best of the high school jazz performers here in the area, many of which come from Wando High School. So we give opportunities actually also to bands from outside of Charleston to come, and for an afternoon at a Sotilli Theater, they perform with members of the Charleston Jazz Orchestra. And that's an event that's free for children, and very popular event.
All right, thank you very much.
Oops, sorry.
It's all right, still a B+. Okay, Vishal, you have any questions?
No, I'm all right.
All right, it's my turn. All right. I noticed there are no Mount Pleasant locations in your schedule.
Correct, yes.
Yes. And I was not sure how you came to your room night calculation.
I'm sorry, what do you mean about that? Can you be more specific?
So you are submitting this based on the fact that you anticipate your guests will be staying in Mount Pleasant hotels, but I don't have any information here to tell me how you came about that calculation.
Well, we're hoping to encourage, so I made room book blocks with two hotels in Mount Pleasant, and we'll be promoting them in our festival promotions. So we're hoping to encourage our visitors to take advantage of the room block and the special discounted, price of those hotel rooms.
How many hotels do you have room blocks with?
Right now in Mount Pleasant with two.
No, overall.
That's it for now.
Eight, and two of them are in Mount Pleasant.
Mm-hmm. No, that's all the room blocks we have
as of today. You. All right. Any other questions?
That was my question.
Okay.
The additional funding, is that City of Charleston or Charleston County?
Both. We receive funding for both.
I want to say I was on the Gilliard website today. The Bobby McFerrin Ranky Tank program looks fantastic. I think it'll sell well, and I hope it, as a headliner, draws a lot of attention to the overall festival. Jazz is an important cultural piece for Charleston. People rarely understand how the Jenkins Orphanage played a role in the emergence of jazz in America, and so it's important that we keep
Absolutely.
That cultural aspect alive here. So thank you for that. If there are no more questions, we will move on. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, Charleston Restaurant Association, foundation. Everybody's a foundation. Okay, that's good.
Well, good morning. I'm Jenny Pepler. I'm with the Greater Charleston Restaurant Association. With the Charleston Restaurant Foundation, we put on the Lowcountry Oyster Festival. We're gearing up for the end of January on the 27th for the next event. It will be the 36th annual, which is crazy to believe. At our beautiful host venue of Boone Hall Plantation. This year we're excited we have some new changes, or we're going to be highlighting some of the changes that we have instilled for the event as far as the oyster recycling efforts. And we will also be promoting our benefiting charities. We will really be doing some highlights, some giving them some love during the event so that the guests are aware that it is for charity. 36 years.
She's going to come up here and stand on her reputation.
Oh, no. But
we have plenty of questions if you have anything more to say.
No, please start with the questions because I'm...
Tell me about attendance over the last 3 years.
It's been great. This past January, weather, we had a black cloud the whole day. So it was cut in half. It was right at 5,000. The 2 years prior to that is strong at 10,000 attendees, which is Boone Hall's request. So we do cap that event so that it stays as positive as possible, because it's not enjoyable if it's more people than that at Boone Hall.
How will the money that we give you be spent?
It will be spent. So almost half of our attendees are from out of the Tri-County area. So we do add it to our marketing efforts just so that we can get to the Greenvilles, the Columbia, the Charlottes of the world to try to get those guests to come.
Great. And I'll point out to you that we have to have very clarified receipts back from you on that.
Okay.
Because you do give out scholarships, and those funds cannot commingle.
Okay.
Under the rules of ATAC, we cannot give money that's used to promote or provide scholarships.
Okay, perfect.
So just be sure that all this money we're giving you goes directly into your marketing budget,
yep,
and that you can demonstrate that, and that the logo of the town ends up on your marketing materials.
Absolutely.
Per usual.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And can I just say that this new application was great?
Oh, good. Most people
was
hate
not,
it.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They don't. They love it.
No, because it was nice to be able to put the information or thought behind it instead of.
Well, I want to thank staff who's no longer here, but they worked really hard with us to create a very thoughtful,
yes,
straightforward matrix system. So, good. Any other questions from the group?
I had a quick question about how the Hospitality Association and the GCRA merger impacts this. Is it
not
shared?
At all.
So it won't be shared ownership,
nope,
of that?
The foundation is the 501c3, so that's completely separate of the merge.
And will the taste come back?
Maybe. Stay tuned.
Okay. I do have a question I'm going to write for you to call me about that's unrelated to what's happening here. All right. Any other questions?
It's a great event.
Great event.
Yeah. Madam Chair, the person that's going after me had knee surgery. Am I allowed to bring her the mic?
Yes, that would be fabulous. Extra points for you.
Wow. Well, thank you. This book is so big.
I'm back here.
All right.
Okay, my name is Linda Califatis. I'm the head softball coach at the College of Charleston. There are just under 300 Division I softball programs in the country, and the majority of those cannot play when our season opens up, which makes locations like ours very favorable. And what we want to do is continue to recruit, if you will, or attract some of the best names in softball. This year we have 16 teams coming to three tournaments and then three of our conference schools coming. The hotel presentation or piece that was added was a huge help. We were able to contract with all the schools or require in our game contract that they stay in Mount P hotels. Unfortunately, one team had already made their arrangements, but so we have 18 teams that will be staying in Mount P. Right now for our tournaments, just the teams alone, that's 804 room nights. And that's not including the three conference schools. It's not including fans, which are quite a bit more difficult to track, umpires. So we expect to get close to 1,100 to 1,200 hotel nights in Mount P.
What are your promotion methods? Oh, are you finished? What are your promotion methods? Is it strictly to these teams?
It is.
And it's digital?
Yep. What we're going to try to do this year is get our communications department to do a graphic for each of those and ask, send that graphic on to the teams themselves and ask them to put it on their page as well as their athletic page. You know, one of the Kardashians became the youngest billionaire in history, and it was all through social media. So we know schools like NC State, who's coming, have over 80,000 followers on their athletic site. So if we can get all of those schools to posted on their direct sites and then on their athletic sites, I think that will attract a lot of attention.
Great.
Do the teams come from all over?
Yeah, we have teams from all of the teams this year are out of state. So we have Purdue, Virginia Tech, NC State, Pittsburgh, Radford, UMass Lowell, Dartmouth. We have a wide variety. Wichita State. We've had Texas in the past. Pittsburgh. So we get a good variety of schools from good many locations.
Thank you.
Anybody else? And this seemed to me not a no profit will be made. Looks like you're headed for a nice loss there. So
yeah.
happy to see you want our money to go down the hole with yours. So that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you so much. Hope you heal.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Siwi.
Hey, everybody. I'm John Powell. I'm the executive director of Southeastern Wildlife Exposition. I believe I met most of you all. We're excited about February. We're excited about some of the things we've done to work a little bit more closely with Mount Pleasant. We actually submitted two applications. One was because an idea generated after the first application was made. So CB proper is definitely happening in February. We'll have a couple. The South Carolina Waterfowl will still have a couple events in Mount Pleasant. We're excited to work a little bit more closely with Charleston Harbor Resort in a partnership where we're going to host some artists and some lecturers throughout the year and also help promote all the fishing tournaments and some other activities that are going on there. Through our database and our media list. I'm going to try to speak quickly to the second application, which is through discussions of having a presence in Mount Pleasant, not just during CB weekend, but permanently, we have an opportunity to bring public sculpture to Waterfront Park and beyond. I've met with Councilwoman Whitley. We've also met with Nicole Harvey and I think it's Jamie Nance. With the town of Mount Pleasant, we've looked at places where we can put permanent bases for public sculpture, starting with six conservatively. And rather than those being semi-permanent or up for a 3-4 month period, the idea evolved into having those pieces up for a full year and then rotate it out. We are still scratching our heads a little bit from a budget standpoint, but we're working that out, and it is not some of that is not as complicated as we thought. We were also working with Carrie Morton, I believe is the last name, who's doing some of the bases already for some other projects in Mount Pleasant. So we're working to streamline that process. I'm sure there are going to be some questions. Rebecca, I know that you were copied on some of the emails.
Correct.
So get right to it.
So the sculpture program, these are on loan from the artist?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And we have several to choose from. Brook Green Gardens has also offered us a list of some really nice pieces because they're excited about public sculpture and sort of the path from Charleston to Brook Green.
That's very exciting. Mount Pleasant has been working hard to improve our visual arts, and so that's beyond exciting. And, yes, we already are in the business of sculpture bases for a number of projects.
And I'm still learning about some of those and the committees and don't want to infringe on those, but I think what we're doing is a little unique, but also as a public sculpture. And I'll add that the six pieces, possibly eight, that we start with would be indigenous to the region. So it sort of fits with our theme and the town.
And so the money that you're requesting for the sculpture program would be used specifically how?
For marketing and for working with the town. In discussions with Jamie, we don't who pays for what when it comes to the bases, and in an effort to tread lightly, the park and that sort of thing. We haven't worked that out yet. Okay. So our request is lessened by what the town is willing to do internally. Mm-hmm. If we need to use some of our resources, obviously we'll do that too.
And how are those pieces insured and who holds the liability?
We will.
Okay. That was the answer I wanted. Anybody else? Oh, we skipped over your initial proposal, but that's pretty much the same proposal we see every year.
It is.
So I don't. Anything new happening in Mount Pleasant on the CWE schedule?
Not on the schedule, other than the events that are held at the Shrine Temple to the Waterfowl Association.
Okay.
This and this opening potentially.
Yeah. So. Great.
I just wanted to say that I think we appreciate the efforts of you trying to bring Mount Pleasant into this event that's so consolidated downtown, and I think that this ART initiative and some of the other things that you're trying to do to partner with us to bring CWE across the bridge is appreciated.
Well, I appreciate it. I think we sort of have blinders on to begin with trying to do something during CWE weekend when I think we might both win, and that this gives us an opportunity to do things throughout the year, especially the sculpture exhibit. We could market that 365.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal. Thank you, John. Any other questions for John? All right, moving on.
You all.
Challenge Cup.
Is that USA?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Sanders. This was just dropped in my email this morning. So.
Oh, you're well prepared. Would you like us to make a presentation for you?
Sure. Well, I understand you all have a copy. This is very similar every year. It's pretty much the same. It's about 500 rooms between the two tournaments.
Correct.
About 5,000 visitors. Half of them are from other places. What else can I answer?
It looks like your attendance projections are the same. Did you hit your attendance numbers last year?
Yes.
Okay.
They may be larger as well. It's always growing, but I don't think anybody estimated higher.
And do you have the option of requiring your participants to do their hotel bookings in
Yes,
Mount Pleasant?
Yes, it's stay and play.
Okay.
So great. They book, they have a list of who they have to use in Mount Pleasant.
Great. All right. And no scholarships, so we're good.
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody
Thank you.
Else?
How is that enforced, like stay and play? Like, how do you guys track that?
If there is a player or several players that do not and it's found out about, they check how many teams book rooms, and if they don't, they can forfeit, not be able to play. So people don't do that. Trust me. I mean, if there are families that can't afford to or have friends, whatever, but basically. And the hotels are pretty, usually the rates are less, so it's really, they cut them a deal. And this is also, I think, in February and March, which is kind of the off-season, tourist off-season.
Okay. So what you guys will see in your packet is you've got the fall shootout and the spring shootout, right?
I think this is just, I could be wrong, sorry. I thought this was for the two spring ones.
Maybe I'm, yes.
Yeah, I think it's
you have
two.
So, but, my point was it's two events. I'm sorry, I misspoke on the timing of those.
Yeah, there is a fall one, but that's not included here.
Okay, right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. The next is the Not Mount Pleasant Seacoast Symphony.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Aul. I'm the president of the South Coast Symphony. We have, I'm here with our executive director, Dawn Durst, and we have performed in Mount Pleasant for the past 3 or 4 years at Christ Church of Mount Pleasant, and we are this. Project represents us wanting to make our permanent home in Mount Pleasant and broaden that by marketing this project as the Mount Pleasant Symphony Orchestra. We believe that Mount Pleasant deserves their own orchestra, and that's what we want to do. So,
I'm going to rescue him at this point. I'm Dawn Durst, the executive director of this organization, and I have been a musician and also a fundraiser in Charleston and this community for a long time. East Cooper is looking for a seed for cultural livability, and we're hoping that, and we really are that seed. We are working right now with the town administrator and with Lauren Sims and others to, we need to work on this name for ourselves. I want it to be in coordination with the town and what the town's going to look like in the future. So, you know, we are very, very open to that, and we are working on that. I've got some great people that I'm going out into the community, and some public relations woman from LA, as a matter of fact, who has volunteered to help us with this problem in coordination with the town. So that's kind of where we are right now. And all of your money is being spent on marketing. One of the things I've done for you to make it easier for you all is I'm now calling it the post-brunch series, which it is. It's on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock at a church in Mount Pleasant. The restaurants like it. So,
all right.
Questions?
Thank you. I'm very excited about the name.
And I've also got one other really cool thing, the Christmas concert.
I've been begging them for 2 years to change their name, so this is great.
It's because we love you, and we're going to come up with, we're going to tweak it a little bit so that I have a lot of people from Sullivan's Island and Isle of Palms that actually give the bulk of the money.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody give me a drive-by donation the other day of $10,000.
Yeah,
from
squeaky wheel, squeaky wheel.
You are. Good job.
Mount Pleasant. I'm all about it.
I'm all about it, too. I'm with you.
So when you were in here last, you were very hopeful about your corporate and individual sponsorship efforts.
Yeah.
Can you give us an update on how that's going?
Well, I had a drive-by donation of $10,000. I mean, I can start right there. It's pretty awesome. I have a full church. I've got 500 people standing room only. I've got Dorothea Benton Frank, a wonderful writer, as we all know her very dearly. She is going to be reading The Night Before Christmas for our Christmas show, which we're doing with the Christ Church Choir. Nobody knows how awesome Mount Pleasant really is and the depth of this town now that we have all these people coming. But I've got, you know, we've got Dorothea Benton Frank, but also the Christ Church Choir. They're going to Carnegie Hall.
Wow.
I mean, this is a big deal, and this is all from here. And we are getting people from off. I had a lovely donation in the basket for that last concert from a woman from Bellingham, Washington, and three or four other donations. The checks were like, you know, for $50 people just threw in there from North Carolina. So we are serving people from the outside, but, you know, to be perfectly honest, we're just really saying that Mount Pleasant is so much more than just the place where everybody lives and a bunch of Little League soccer teams, which is awesome, but we've got a lot more, and it's really growing, that interest. As I speak right now, I've got a fantastic group of musicians over at the Chamber of Commerce doing some sort of Nashville fiddle Celtic Christmas thing that I've set up. We've been trying to be more engaged in all of the civic events that you all host here.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see us a lot more.
Great. Thank you.
I would
much.
Like a bigger building one day, but
I know.
I know.
We're all looking at that. We're looking. I want to build the amphitheater of Pompeii at one of the parks.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be
all
great?
The dead people.
Well, no. None of the dead people. Just the architecture. Something unique. All right, anybody else?
Questions?
All right, thank you. I know it's been a long slog for you guys, and I want you to know how much we appreciate that you have stuck with it, and you have brought your audience and filled that church, and it's fabulous.
Y'all have done a great job, too, supporting us, because we got the College of Charleston to do a new website, a lot of advertising for us, so
great.
It's been great working with them,
great.
Too. So.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Charleston Wine and Food.
Good
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jillian Zettler. I'm the Executive Director of Charleston Wine and Food. I've been in this position now for the fifth year, and we are so excited and thankful for the committee's past consideration of funding. We know that there was quite an extensive jump in what you supported with last year, and for that, we recognize it and we're very appreciative. I recognize from some of the minutes that were shared from the council meeting that there were some points of contention on that, and so I wanted to be able to address those with the committee. I know that there were some questions asked about the size and the number of events that took place in Mount Pleasant, and I'd just like to say that beginning in my tenure here with the festival, there were only two events that were taking place in Mount Pleasant, one of which was a small dinner. This year we have seven. And two of those are big signature events, and I would like to also say that our marquee dinner that's taken place and gets a lot of press over the past few years, now we're doing actually three smaller marquee dinners, and one of those will be held in the Old Village, and the host chef is Ben Berryhill. So that's really, really exciting for us, and none of them are being held on the peninsula. So for those of you who have been kind of around the horn with the festival, please recognize that for us, we know that this is much bigger than a King Street event. I'm a Mount Pleasant resident myself, and it's really important that the place that I live, work, and play is also a part of the landscape of this event. You'll also see once again in our application that Marriott Rewards credit card has returned as a national partner this year. And while those hotels did not do packages with us, they get the ancillary benefits of our sponsorship work regardless. So they actually will curate on a corporate level hotel ticket packages with all of those Mount Pleasant hotels as well. And they sold out all the packages that they put together to their rewards card members last year, and they advertise to over 3 million folks the impressions on the rewards card site. You'll also see that Cambria Hotel is also a partner, and I really do wish there would be some further consideration from others to participate.
Thank you.
I'm sure there might be questions.
So, Jillian, thank you. We put our faith in you last year with our investment and knew that you would find a way to put more things in Mount Pleasant. So we appreciate that you returned our intentions. So that's great. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
From our hotel participants, anything more we can do to support the hotel bookings in Mount Pleasant?
Ms. Hartman, I'd love for you to give me some feedback.
Yes. First of all, I wanted to thank you so much for directly addressing some of the concerns that we had last time, because I think we all say that they were very well addressed with your follow-up today and your presentation. We're always happy to partner. It just seems like a lot of times we do get residual impacts, but I don't think, and this may evolve as you've added seven more events into the Mount Pleasant area, but and correct me if I'm wrong, it still seems like we're the residual once downtown fills up rather than us ever going to be the forefront just because of the nature of the event. The same thing is similar with Seaweed. It doesn't mean that we don't get positively impacted or that we don't appreciate what you do or the positive image that it brings to the Charleston area and indirectly us. And maybe as some more of the events evolve in Mount Pleasant, that will continue to evolve. We'd be happy, I think, to offer a discount or something to post on your website to try to attract more people into Mount Pleasant. I think we're all open to that, but we just still haven't seen quite that shift yet.
With the committee's permission, I'd also love to add that the Today Show actually approached Charleston Wine and Food for a media partnership this year. That's the first ever marketing partnership of its kind, and that's a national broadcast opportunity. So that's pretty amazing. One of the events that they'll be focusing their marketing efforts on is actually an excursion that will involve Nico Romo, who obviously is with Nico here in Mount Pleasant. So that's really, really exciting for us as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Thank you. Are there any other questions I could answer?
Nope. You do what you do well. You have a great team. We appreciate what you've done for the city and
Thanks
the surrounding
so
area.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And now we are on to volleyball. Do we have a representative from the College of Charleston volleyball tournament? Oh, that was our knee person?
That was softball.
That was softball, yeah. All right. No email from them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so next up we have Cooper River Bridge Run.
Hello, I'm Irv Batten, I'm the Deputy Race Director. We all know the beast of the bridge run, so I think the application's the same. If y'all have any questions.
I think we're all pretty well versed on the event.
Any changes to the shuttles?
The
shuttle routes?
Yeah, we're actually, we condensed the two small ones in Mount Pleasant. We're starting from Seacoast Church, so that will be a larger parking lot. We could hold more people there. So we'll have two in Mount Pleasant, the town center, and then Seacoast Church.
Okay, good. So. Anybody else? If you're new, not that we're not interested, but
yeah.
The bridge run is quite a partnership between the town of Mount Pleasant and the bridge run folks. It takes a bit of effort on all parts to get that baby launched from over here. So thank you.
And Julian did want to apologize for not making it, but he's got.
I know Julian's struggling, and our hearts are with him. All right, on to. Is it race week? Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
We saw.
It's changed since this report. I figured I'd provide you guys with an update.
While you're passing that out, I wanted you to know the CAP Commission picks art for the town hall, and there were some fabulous photos that will be hung here soon that are from race week. You should definitely come by and take a look at those. They're quite extraordinary.
Great. So for some of you new, I'm Randy Drafts. I'm the executive director of Sperry Charleston Race Week. We're trying to make it Sperry Mount Pleasant Race Week, but we're working on that, you know. But anyway, we're challenged logistically, you know, on the growth. We've had some hockey stick style growth through the years, and you're seeing us starting to level out a little bit. And the story last year was it's logistics. You know, it's getting 250 boats in and out of the water. And 85% of our attendees are from throughout the country, throughout the world, actually. And we initiated a launch and haul plan ourselves last year. And that allowed us to grow actually 15% from the year before, which Sailboat Regattas, that's a big number for the size of the event that we have. This year, because of that initiation, we're looking, our registrations right now are up 40% from year to date from last year. And it is these boats that we needed to get launched and hauled. So it's an attribute to that initiative of launching and hauling boats. So we're real excited about the growth of this year. And the event, we looked at actually expanding the event to a week. And we talk, you know, we call it Charleston Race Week, and, you know, I actually was in a presentation in Europe a couple of months ago, and I said, you know, one of the things that we did a number of years ago was consolidate the event to 3 days. When the economy was bad, it was, and the reason Race Week's grown nationally so much is that it's an inexpensive event to attend because of those 3 days. And so that's been, it's a key to success. But I'm trying to break it because I've got more boats that want to attend, and I can't sail them all in the 3 days that we have. So we've looked at expanding it to a week. We tried to do it for this year. I couldn't quite manage the marketing of it to figure out. I need about 85 more boats to attend to afford to do that. You know, the event itself is so expensive per day. And so we're going to use the 2019 event to do our research and evaluate expanding it to a week. 2020 will be our 25th anniversary, so it'll be a good time to do that, I think. And that's kind of our plan. You'll see in my notes there, I'm looking at, and I'll need your guidance on this, but you'll see a note in there from a company called Briscoe. We're looking at trying how do we manage and measure our actual room nights. And, you know, because of our partnership, you know, with the resort, we know those, but I've been trying to do research through the other hotels, and we'll do blocks at other hotels, but I'd be interested in and Shannon and Cheryl's, you know, your comments, this company says that they can actually basically take the list that we have to provide on our website of all the hotels and key in with them and then measure that for us. And I don't think that they're a broker in which they're taking a percentage or anything. But it, you know, their job is, are they?
They're going to take
it. Gotcha. Okay. Well, you know, I keep trying to figure that out. You're so that's what you know, you guys
love your
need
naivete,
to tell me.
Randy. I love it.
Just trying to figure
people
that out.
People do everything.
Kindness of their heart.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so questions.
I think that everybody, again, like we've said every year, the scope and the volume of people who come in for Race Week, we all, whether in this instance it can be tracked, every hotel, I think, would admit to the impact that we have. Not just us as the host location, because we fill up, we almost fill up before the end of the year. We're almost full. So that means
right
up until April, everybody is having to find alternate hotels, and they all seem to want to stay east of the Cooper.
Yeah.
But I think that you started to touch upon the growth of Race Week and trying to add these new races, but I don't know if that really was as effective or as much as you could have shared and what you've been doing in traveling internationally and the
right.
And the not only national exposure, this growth and new facet, it would basically be a new race, not just an add-on to Race Week, correct?
So. No, it would be actually, it would be the expansion of
okay.
of Race Week, you know, so we'd be turning it in, back into a week of which it started 25 years ago. It was a week. And what it was really a weekend, a Wednesday night, and a weekend back in the early day. Now, this one wouldn't be the what we need to kind of do the research. And you know, like last 2019, we're sandwiched right in between Easter and I think the bridge run. You know, so we couldn't actually have racing on one weekend. We could only race maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, take Thursday off, and then go Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, so I don't know what the – I think the research that we'll do will tell us whether they'd prefer to come in and do a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And what we've got are fleets that wanting to come in. I mean, the big thing we have boats 40 to 33 feet that we race offshore right now. They don't want to race offshore when everybody's having a great time inshore, you know, and they have to take this hour and a half commute out every day out to the ocean course. And what we're going to do this year is probably eliminate one ocean course and just have them, we've been having them race from the harbor start out into the ocean, do a course and race back. You know, it's all, it's no different than golf or other sports. It's a time thing. You know, how efficient can we be with time or their time, you know, racing? So it's a challenge. It's, you know, we've, and I think just my travels and talking with other people, we've got some other classes of boats. They're one design classes that would show up in a group of 30 or 40. So that gets my 85.
Yeah.
Much easier than, you know, a bunch of individual boats.
Yeah, I know you've been working on it for years, and if he can make the numbers work and expand it, this would basically double the impact that Race Week has and move it from a weekend event to a weekday impact, which is also beneficial.
Yeah, that's yeah, definitely. And we're also, you'll see in my notes, oh, by the way, that copy of that ad that I included there is an ad that went into the top leading sailing magazine in Europe. It's a European ad, and I was just recently invited out to France to speak on Race Week. I mean, it's a global event. You know, it's hard for me to realize that this event has gotten to this point, but it's one of the top events in the world. And that's not me saying that; that's other people telling me that.
Randy, what are your infrastructure limitations right now? Docks or launch sites or staging, what are your limitations at this point?
It is a question of how we get boats in and out of the water. You know, Charleston Harbor Resort and Marina has gotten fuller, and so the impact is there. You know, we used to provide some free dockage for the first group of boats to register. And, you know, the demand on the resort is so high that we can't do that any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So we've partnered with one of the yacht clubs as far as docking some boats across the harbor, you know, to help do that. But, yeah, it's just the infrastructure is not big enough to support it. I mean, just like your resort's almost full for rooms. Well, I've got boatyards already saying, hey, Randy, we can't take any more race week boats launching and hauling. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's big money for them. I mean, they're, you know, when the boats go in there to launch, they're selling paint jobs. They're getting work done on their boats while those boats are there. And they're at capacity. So last year, you know, I literally partnered with the Ports Authority and brought a crane into Columbus Street Terminal myself and got put cards, and we launched boats ourselves. I mean, it's just it's a big task for, you know, it's 300 volunteers running this thing, you know? So that's our challenge. So that's why the week-long event actually makes some sense as far as managing it.
You don't need more boats.
Well, we can always need more boats. What do you mean?
All right. Any other questions for Randy? And thank you for the supplemental material, Randy. It's very helpful.
Thank you.
All right. Reg, are we going to do tall ships?
That's the plan. Our biggest complaint last year was, you're so far away from the harbor. Oh. We won't have that problem.
Thank you.
I'm Reg Brown. I'm the exec director of Tall Ships Charleston. And we would like to change that name, too, because we like Mount Pleasant. I used to live in Mount Pleasant. How many of you have been to a Tall Ship Festival? Glad to see that. On May 16th through the 19th, we will bring together a collection of tall ships for 4 days on a fun on and off the water. Classic charm of Mount Pleasant will be host to a grand waterfront celebration of the sea. The event will feature a classic beauty of sailing ships, wooden boat displays, sail away rides, maritime art, music, food, and much more. The 4-day Tall Ship Festival will feature 8 to 10 tall ships on display, a large pirate camp, kids play area will be a major attraction. The kids love the pirates. Classic wooden boats will be displayed as live music is broadcast from our central stage, and great food is supplied by a fleet of local food trucks. Vendors come from all over the Lowcountry to provide a variety of maritime-related goods. Charleston Port Authority is going to join us with putting up a tent and talk about the history, past, present, and future of Charleston Harbor. Last year, we brought 22,500 attendees to North Charleston. We expect that to increase with our new location in Mount Pleasant. We're planning on 20 to 30,000, and 20% of those will come from out of town. Profits will go to support maritime nonprofit organizations, four of them right here in the area. Last year, we received money from North Charleston. They won't give us any this year, I know. And we're coming to Mount Pleasant to see if we can get you to replace them, and we will have a great event. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Reg. Always a great package from you. I always love your diagrams and enthusiasm. No one says 30,000 people are coming and keeps grinning when they're in charge but you.
More the merrier.
That's right.
Did you have some? Could you share with us a little information about your marketing efforts?
We had mass digital marketing last year. We had over 80,000 email addresses that got our advertising. We have a sign at the airport. We use a billboard coming into town. Between now and the last one, I get 5 or 6 calls a week wanting to know when we're going to do it again.
I'm not sure.
And these come from out of town. We were all the way up in North Charleston the last time, yet we sold a bunch of rooms in Mount Pleasant. We plan on going to all the Mount Pleasant hotels and see if we can get a blanket deal and get everybody to stay here. There's no reason for them to go across the river.
Wonderful. Thank you.
To our hotel experts, is this date problematic with hotel occupancy?
It's not problematic, but it's not a high need time for us in the area in Charleston. But
it's between Mother's Day and Spoleto.
Yes, I know.
So they can come do it all.
Right. That's right.
And is the timing of your event based on the touring time of these other ships?
Yes. What we do is these ships that are coming here are going to end up in the Great Lakes in July.
Mm-hmm.
But a bunch of them go down to the islands for the winter. As they're coming back, they're all trying to get their schedule set so they can stop here for 4 days.
Gotcha.
When I said 4 days, it's before it's been 3 days. The fourth day is now Thursday, which will be group day. We are encouraging all the schools, all the retirement homes, everybody that's got a bus to get on their bus and come to see the ships for special rate on Thursday.
Wonderful. Thank you.
It's also an all-volunteer event.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reg. It's quite an undertaking. It really is. So thank you, because it's a rare thing that these coastal communities can enjoy. And oh, really? I know she didn't sit together. All right. Next, we have a presentation from the Halsey.
Good afternoon. My name is Liz Biswell. I'm the Director of Public Affairs for the Halsey Institute of Contemporary Art. We are the College of Charleston's Contemporary Art Museum. We are nonprofit, non-collecting, and the description of the exhibition that's within this application is a hallmark, really, of the way that we organize contemporary art. So we don't have a collection that we pull from. We invite artists to come into our space, create something new for the community, and if possible, debut brand new work for us. And this is exactly what Jennifer Wenma, the artist of Cry Joy Park, is going to be doing. She's currently got an exhibition in Beijing that is sort of along the lines of this Cry Joy Park. And it's her way, because she's an artist, of visually working out exactly what she's going to be doing here. So she's doing 18 months of preparation, essentially, for creating this brand new environment within the gallery spaces. So the application is for the marketing costs of this exhibition itself. We do get support from City and Charleston County ATEX for marketing, but their grant funding is only for kind of all year round, the entire season. And so I'm really interested, because of the possible impact for the community and the dialogue that's possible with this exhibition and the themes that she explores, and then also kind of capitalizing on the fact that it's happening during Spoleto. And then also the room blocks are during Memorial Day weekend. So it's kind of this natural time when people are coming to Charleston, and then making sure that we're in front of them and that we don't get overshadowed by what's happening with Spoleto. So are there any questions about this?
Who are you reaching? What are your demographics, geographics, in your marketing campaign for this?
So I've included, I think it may be the last page, but the marketing list. So most of the things that we would need the funding to pay for would definitely be national art-focused publications, whether that's digital or in print. And then there are some contemporary art blog spaces that are very well-respected on a national level. Mm-hmm. I worked for the Halsey previously and then left for a while and then came back, and I've really discovered in my kind of second year now on my return that the Halsey is really well known outside of South Carolina, and that it's really the folks that walk past our door every day are the ones that think, you know, that we're only student art or it's all work that's about the College of Charleston or something and don't kind of really realize what a gem it is. So the choice of publications and places to market were really focused on the fact that that's what the audience that we're really looking for are the people that are coming to town looking for something contemporary, something new and new south about Charleston. And so that's why we went with a lot of art publications rather than kind of general magazines or general newspapers or something in larger markets.
I will tell you that my staff sits at the corner of King and Calhoun at the info booth and sends people your way all day, every day.
Thank you.
So be sure you get some materials down there. Why should Mount Pleasant fund this?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're a first-time applicant for this, and I really think I kind of see this application and this grant as a really great kind of partnership experiment, essentially. We advertise nationally all of our shows. Admission is free. So we don't generally track where people stay. We're not kind of in tune with the tourism of the area in that sense. So I really do think that people ask us where to go for lunch whenever they're in the galleries. What else should we be looking for while we're here? And I think that everyone that comes to Charleston sort of thinks that there's this bubble of importance over downtown, and they don't, you know, the Ravenel Bridge is such an icon of our area, but not everybody even makes it across the bridge. You know, they take pictures from the Charleston side. But the Charleston area is really so much more rich than the activity of expensive parking and expensive hotels that are located on the peninsula. And I'm kind of hoping that because the exhibition itself is really about community, that by branching out from downtown and kind of getting people to stay in other places and explore other pieces of the Charleston area, that they can kind of really connect their entire stay with the community rather than just going up and down King Street from this restaurant to the Halsey to this other place. That they really kind of find out more about what the entire community is about rather than just, you know, King Street that makes it onto postcards kind of thing.
Thank you for that lovely thought. And again, thank you to the Halsey. Every year during Splaters, there's been something phenomenal in there. I've found it enriching to me as a creative person and a thoughtful person, and I think Mark and the whole team down there have just done a great job.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the group?
With the addition, if you were to get the additional funding from us for marketing, do you already have something that you feel you're lacking in the current campaign that, like, specific, or would you just wait to get the funding to see where you think that would be best utilized?
Yes. One thing that we haven't really branched out into has been billboards and then radio. So I've got Adams Outdoor Advertising and some SCETV coverage in here as well. Just because of the nature of Spoleto, it's really a destination kind of festival, and that we, you know, people, if they have affordable options for staying, then maybe the folks from Greenville will come for more than just a day trip, that they would actually stay. And so those advertisements are really something I've noticed because of the Columbia Museum does billboards here. So I feel like those are pretty effective. I don't tend to check what's happening in Columbia, but because those have personally worked on me, I'd like to see if we can kind of do a similar format with markets that are outside of the Charleston area. And we've done billboards with two exhibitions in the past, 3 years ago and then 5 years ago. And those were both during the Spoleto Time exhibitions. And they were pretty effective. Of course, because we're a nonprofit, we're able to negotiate a lower rate with Adams. So I'm hoping to kind of repeat that.
Great. And then the last question I have is, typically when we get funding, there's somehow some reference back to Mount Pleasant. Do you have ideas of how we could be included and the efforts that you have and make sure that Mount Pleasant is referenced in what you're doing?
Yes, so because a lot of the artist research is going to be centered around the plantation kind of development from where we kind of went from the sleepy plantation-based area and kind of grew up into this baby metropolis, that I think that within the history and the context of the contextualizing work for her essays and for a lot of the articles that, fingers crossed, I'm going to get written about the exhibition, there can be a reference to kind of the development of Mount Pleasant, the development of West Ashley and John's Island, and how these places have changed and grown up.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the presentation. And now we have Mount Pleasant Community Arts Center. Radio plays.
I'm Marie Louise Moretto, and I'm the president of the Mount Pleasant Community Arts Center. And what we are asking for, we're asking for funding for what we are calling a Munchkin Radio Plays. These are children's plays. They're new plays by local playwrights. We are going to present them during Piccolo. And we're in the process of applying to be an official Piccolo event. And that way, that allows us to use the Piccolo advertising to promote this event. And they will be done, we want to do them in morning events, and we'll be working in conjunction with the Story Tree Children's Theater, which has a good reputation for doing children's theater. We're also working with the music department of Christ Church, which is where they will be performed. And these are new plays by local playwrights and done in a very professional venue, because we want to bring people into Mount Pleasant that will probably be coming for Piccolo. There aren't a lot of children's events for Piccolo. So these will bring people with families. We're going to keep the ticket prices very low that are affordable, because we want not just the tourists to come, but also people in the surrounding community to come in. And since these are morning shows, then the people are available to, they're here at Mount Pleasant, they can take advantage of all the restaurants in Mount Pleasant. The other thing that we're going to want to do to help, you know, encourage people to spend money in Mount Pleasant is to go to the malls. For example, the town center on occasion gives out passes, like a discount for any of the shops or any of the restaurants in the Mount Pleasant area. Do you have any questions about the event or...
What is the general ticket price?
We want to charge only $5 per person, and that irregardless of whether the person is 7 years old or 70. We just blanket $5 price.
And then what's the capacity of the auditorium where the performances would be held?
They're going to be held at the parish hall, at Christ Church Parish Hall, which can hold up to 100.
Okay.
And the children will have seats in the back for the adults, but the children will be on cushions on the floor.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Such silence.
You have in your budget, your projected expenditures are $10,371. Your projected income is $10,500, and that depends on $8,000 in grants. When I look at your funding secured to date, I don't see where you can get there without 100% funding from us.
We're only asking you to do 52% funding, because we have other pending funding sources.
Correct.
And we will also be asking for sponsorships.
Gotcha.
So our support would be $50 per guest.
Well, it's what we're asking is each program, we want to do at least three. Each program is $3,457. We're asking for $6,000 for you, which is just slightly below the cost of two programs. So by my calculations, and I'm not a math person, my calculations, what we're asking is you to fund 52%.
What's the timing when you're going to know if you're going to be included with Piccolo, or how that process goes?
Okay, the Piccolo application isn't due till December 14th. But from everyone I've spoken to, if we have, because we already have a venue secured, you know, so that's the main thing is a venue. So we're pretty sure of being accepted. And since we are self-sponsoring, which also gives us more control over it.
Wonderful.
Any other questions from the group? Yes.
Might be a question, maybe a comment. Marie-Louise, you've this is way better than last year. I think last year was a concept, and good or bad, you at least narrowed into something that was actually the actual event, which I think was really good. The only thing that really jumped out at me were the room nights. They seemed pretty aggressive. I'm not questioning you, but it just seems like 360 room nights for this seemed to be pretty high, but that was the only thing.
Well, because we were figuring on the attendance, like I think people are coming for Piccolo. They'll be here for Piccolo. And so we said what would be the attendance for each day, and we did not count children in there. If we do three performances, we said this would be an approximate number. Since we've not done this before, it's really hard to calculate what the room is, because I'm sure that some of the people will come because it's a low ticket item, will not be staying at hotels. They'll probably be staying with friends, but they're also going to still be spending their money here in Mount Pleasant. And the way what we'll do is we'll do a survey, you know, of people who attend, like, are you from out of town? Where are you from? Are you staying in a hotel? So that if we come back next year, and we're sure this is going to be very successful, we come back next year, we'll have very definite numbers, and they won't be such, you know, approximations.
Thank you.
I concur with Tom. This is a much more precise presentation that we can...
Well, thank you. I mean, we are learning. We are trying. After all, we are new.
So thank you.
Well, thank you for the compliment. We'll have a mutual admiration society here.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Sweetgrass Baskets. Who is here for that? I don't see Thomasina.
Where is she?
I have an email from Thomasina.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think that brings us to the end of our applications, yes? So for those of you who are here, thank you for your presentations. We will be taking this very large notebook that we made notes in, applying the matrix application of your answers to our questions. If we have any questions we can't answer, we will call you to get some clarification. But I thank you for your time and energy. Mostly I thank you for what you do, because it is what you do that makes a community have soul and greatness. So thank you. This meeting is adjourned. So thank you. This meeting is adjourned. So thank you. This meeting is adjourned. So thank you. Meeting is adjourned, Ignis, so thank you. Meeting is adjourned, Ignis, so thank you.